بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا من فضلك علما وتعليما إنك على كل شيء قدير وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Ramadan Mubarak. Alhamdulillah, last year in the previous Ramadan, after Fajr, we were covering some of the hadith narrations collected by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, and we were reading particularly from one of the latter had chapters in his collection called Kitab al-Riqaq. And last year we read chapters 1 to 25 of Kitab al-Riqaq. That was our post-Fajr reading. And inshallah this year we endeavor to continue reading from Kitab al-Riqaq, trying to go from chapters 26 to 51, which is the last chapter. And this section in Sahih al-Bukhari consists of 51, or you could say 52 chapters, and there are 171 hadith. And inshallah, we're going to try to see if we can finish reading the rest of that book this year from Sahih al-Bukhari. Now, before we begin and reading the next chapter, chapter 26, just a reminder about what this chapter is about and its significance to the month of Ramadan. It is the way of the ulama, they would encourage their students that when Ramadan appears, to put aside for a while the books of fiqh, the books of usul, the books of theology, the books of the things that they normally study throughout the year, to kind of put those things to the side for a while and put more focus on the Quran, of course. And also, if they're going to study, they would read and study things that are connected to the heart. Now, everything is connected to the heart ultimately, if the intention is proper. But what they meant were the works of the ulama that addressed the issues of the heart and developing the soul. And so we read Kitab al-Riqaq for that purpose. Now, Kitab al-Riqaq, or the concept of Riqaq, Riqaq means that which is heart softening, right? The word is from raqiqa, and raqiqa is making something tender or soft. And the reason why they called this Kitab al-Riqaq is because it presented narrations that should ideally inculcate some riqqa, which is softness, in the heart. Because the opposite of riqqa, softness, is ghilza, which is hardness or harshness and so on. And so you have many hadith scholars such as Imam Abdullah ibn Mubarak, Imam al-Bukhari, al-Imam al-Nasa'i, and others, each penning a particular chapter in their respective collections called Kitab al-Riqaq or Kitab al-Raqa'iq. So Raqa'iq applies to those narrations that address matters of the heart. So today, inshallah, we just look at chapter 26, which is very brief. And chapter 26 in Sahih al-Bukhari, Kitab al-Riqaq, is titled Bab al-Intiha anil Ma'asi, the chapter on desisting from Ma'asi. What is Ma'asi? Well, we say Ma'asi is sins, but literally Ma'asi is from Ma'asiyah. Ma'asiyah is disobedience. It's the opposite of Ta'a. Ta'a is obedience, ma'asiyah, disobedience. So this chapter, he presents a couple of hadith about desisting from ma'asiyah. And obviously that is one of the greater purposes of Ramadan, isn't it? Because Allah Ta'ala mentions the maqsad of Ramadan when he says that fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed upon those before you. For what reason? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So that you may exercise taqwa, which is avoiding the haram and making sure you obey Allah. That's the, in a nutshell, that's what taqwa is. It is avoiding Allah's punishment by abstaining from sins and by making sure that you obey Allah Ta'ala. So the first hadith, we'll read the chain, the translation, and just a basic commentary. Imam al-Bukhari says, حدثنا محمد ابن العلاء حدثنا أبو أسامة عن بريد عن عبد الله ابن أبي بردة عن أبي بردة عن أبي موسى قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مثلي ومثل ما بعثني الله كمثل رجل أتى قوما فقال رأيت الجيش بعيني وإني أنا النذير العريان فالنجاء فأطاعه طائفة فأدلجوا على مهلهم فنجوا وكذبته طائفة فصبحهم الجيش فاجتاحهم. So this comes from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, and he relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my example and the example of the message with which Allah has sent me is like that of a man who came to some people and said, I have seen with my very own eyes the enemy forces, and I am unto you an-nadhir al-uryan, which literally means the naked warner, the naked warner. So save yourself, save yourself. A group of them obeyed him and went out at night, slowly and stealthily, and they were safe, while another group did not believe him, and thus the army took them in the morning and destroyed them. Now we see here that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is giving us a method. He's saying that my likeness is like that kind of man who's doing this, and he says that I am like an-nadhir al-uryan, which literally means the naked warner. Now this is actually a very ancient pre-Islamic motif. The naked warner is actually referring to a historical event. And the scholars of hadith and the scholars of seerah and history, they differ over who exactly that person was in pre-Islamic history. But the story is that an enemy tribe had caught this one person out on the road, beat them and took their clothes, and they were wounded but managed to escape. Wounded and naked, they managed to find an animal, a horse or a camel, presumably, to get on and ride as fast as they could to their village so they could warn their people. And arriving in the village, people see that person at a distance. As they're coming into the village, they see this person, number one, is unclothed. Number two, they're wounded. And so by seeing that person in that state from a distance, it itself is a warning, right? Because you see this person is unclothed and wounded. Something happened to them. As we've said many times before, back then clothing was quite expensive. It wasn't normally cheap. So they took his clothes and he's wounded. So this is a very clear warning that there's an attack coming to them. If they don't take the precautions and get out, they too will be attacked. So they believe this person in their warning because he had all the signs of truthfulness, right? Why would they believe him, but maybe not believe someone else? If someone else came into the city or the village, fully clothed and looking fine and warning them, maybe he's not telling the truth. But because this person is wounded and bleeding and they're unclothed, they have all the signs confirming that person's truthfulness. So Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, who was the author of Fath al-Bari, the magisterial commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari, he says in his commentary on this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used this example because he was believed due to the many miracles with which Allah gave him that established his truthfulness. So the likeness is not literal, but the likeness, you know, wajhu shibah, you know, the angle of resemblance is in how he is confirmed as being sadiq, right? Just as the naked warner is confirmed as being truthful because he has all the signs indicating that he's telling the truth, wounded, bloody, and unclothed. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is confirmed as sadiq because Allah Ta'ala aided him with miracles. Now, some of the others, such as Imam Abu Sulaiman al-Khattabi, said that al-Nadhir al-Uryan here, what it's actually saying is that the warner is eloquent in his warning. Because if a person is coming into a village beaten, bloodied, and unclothed, it's a very clear, eloquent warning that the enemy is nearby. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is eloquent in his warning. How does Allah describe him in the Quran? Nadhira wa bashira. Bashira wa nadhira. He is the bringer of glad tidings and he's the bringer of warning. And if you look at the hadith, you see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions three forms of emphasis. Three forms of emphasis. Ta'kidat. He says, bi'aynay. With my own two eyes, that's a kind of emphasis. Because you could say, I saw something. You saw something. But when you say, I saw something with my own two eyes, that's an emphasis. Number two, he says, inni ana, indeed, or verily I am. That's another emphasis. And then he says, al-nadhir al-uryan, which is another emphasis. So he's mentioning three forms of emphasis using the example of warning the people of a coming enemy. And he says that there's two groups here. The first group are those who obeyed, and the second group are those who did not believe him. Notice that he didn't say those who obeyed and those who disobeyed. He didn't say those who believed and those who didn't believe. And the reason why is because belief precedes obedience. It's you obey because you believe. It's because you believe this person that you obey. It's because you believe he is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you obey. So that is the motivating factor for obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the stronger one's iman is that he is a sadiq al-masduq, that what he is saying about the consequences of sins in this life and the next is truthful, that is what motivates obedience. And what is he warning about? He's warning about the consequences of sins, right? So that is the first hadith he puts in the chapter on avoiding disobedience, desisting from sins. The next hadith, he says, he uses another example. He says, حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو الْيَمَانِ أَخْبَرَنَا شُعَيْبُ حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو الزِّنَادِ عَنْ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ أَنَّهُ حَدَّثَهُ أَنَّهُ سَمِعَ أَبَا هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ سَمِعَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ إِنَّمَا مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُ النَّاسِ كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ جَعَلَ الْفَرَاشُ وهذه الدواب التي تقع في النار يقعن فيها فجعنا يزعهن ويغربنه فيقتحمن فيها فأنا آخذ بحجزكم عن النار وأنتم تقحمون فيها. He says from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم say, my example and the example of the people. This is another similitude. My example and the example of the people is that of a man who kindled a fire, and when it lighted what was around it, yani استوقد نارا فلما أضاءت ما حوله. That sounds very similar to Surah Baqarah, right? He says when he lit it and it lighted up what was around it, moths and other insects started falling into the fire. You know, when you have a campfire, what do you notice? All of a sudden, these moths and these bugs start flying around. Why are they flying head first into that fire? You can't stop them. He says, the moths and other insects started falling into the fire. The man tried his best to prevent them from falling into the fire, but they overpowered him and rushed into the fire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added, similarly, I take hold of the knots at your waist, you know, your belts, to prevent you from falling into the fire, but you insist on falling into it. So you see, this is very similar to the previous hadith. He's warning people, and he's giving the example of a man who lights a fire, and the moths are coming. He's trying to stop them, but he can't because there's too many, and they're rushing headfirst into this fire. However, there's a subtlety here. He's saying that he's also taking us by the waist, you know, the belts, trying to hold us back from the fire. So he's using this expression to describe how he is trying to keep us from flying headfirst into that fire. And this is actually a glad tidings for us because it shows the concern of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us. And this is mentioned in many places in the Quran, particularly in Ayatul Hirs, where Allah says, لَقَدَ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. He's very keen on what is good for you, and it pains him that you should suffer, and he is eager for your benefit. So this is the example he gives. Now, Imam al-Tibi, who comments on the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, he says that this is understood when you understand the words in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah says that whoever transgresses the limits of Allah, they are the ظالمون, they are the wrongdoers. Because the haram, anything, the haram things are the boundaries that Allah Ta'ala has set, the hudud of Allah. So there are certain things halal, and there are certain things haram. Those things that are haram are always going to be harmful for us. And those haram things are the hudud of Allah. Right? We are in, if you think of a pasture where cows graze, that pasture is going to have a fence. Outside of that fence, it's not safe for the cows. So you have this boundary, these hudud. So the haram are the hudud of Allah. We are not to transgress, to go past the hudud of Allah. The boundaries are the doubtful matters. Beyond them is the haram. So here, the Prophet ﷺ is describing how hard he is trying to keep his ummah within the boundaries of the halal and not to transgress into the haram lest they wrong themselves. And you see the similitude here, because as a person lights a fire, it's very hard to keep the moths and other things from flying into the fire. But even then he tries, through warnings, through his care and concern, and through his du'as. The last hadith in this chapter, he says, حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو نُعَيْمٍ حَدَّثَنَا زَكَرِيَّا عَنْ عَامِرٍ قَالَ سَمِعْتُ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ إِبْنِ عَامِرٍ يَقُولُ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمُسْلِمُ مَنْ سَلِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ مَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He says, this is from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a Muslim is the one from whose tongue and hands other Muslims are safe. And the muhajir, the one who makes hijrah, is the one who gives up, abandons what Allah has forbidden. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about the true reality of Islam, the true reality of the Muslim. Because the Muslim is the person who has Islam. Islam comes from salima. Salima, which means to be safe. Right? Salima means to be safe. And here he's saying that the true Muslim is the one from whose tongue and hands other Muslims are safe. Salima. Right? That is the true Muslim. So they avoid harming people with their tongue and their hands. So it's not just about us and Allah. It's about us and human beings, other believers. And in the second part of the hadith, which is the shahid to the chapter, he says that the muhajir, the one who makes hijrah, truly is the one who makes hijrah, who immigrates or avoids what Allah has forbidden. Now this is, there's a beauty to this hadith, because number one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks this, and this is of course preserved, and we're hearing it today, which means he's not just addressing the Sahaba.
He's addressing the Sahaba as well as those who come after them from the Tabi'un and from the third generation and beyond up until today, until Yawmul Qiyamah. So he's not just gladdening the hearts of the Sahaba, he's also gladdening our hearts, because none of us had the opportunity to make hijrah from Mecca to Medina. So it's as if he's saying that the bodily hijrah isn't enough. There also has to be the hijrah of the heart. And the truest hijrah of the heart is making hijrah, migrating from disobedience to obedience. So even if you have not made hijrah because you were born and raised in a Muslim country, and there's no hijrah for you, there's still the hijrah of the heart, which is going from disobedience to sin, to obedience. And this is a kind of hijrah. Likewise, who is he addressing? I mean, he's addressing the Sahaba directly, and it's transmitted to us. So in addressing the Sahaba, isn't he addressing some of the Muhajirun? Of course. They already made hijrah, right? What is he telling them? It's as if he's telling them that your physical hijrah is not enough. Don't rely on your physical hijrah and think that's enough. You also have to have the hijrah of the heart in avoiding the haram. That is always going to remain. Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani, he cites this hadith and says that this is one of the many examples of Jawami'ul Karim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that he has been given Jawami'ul Karim. If you translate that in English, you could say it means compendious speech. So it means that in a very few words, he conveys something that is very deep and that could be explained in volumes, right? Imam Yusuf Nabahani has a 40 hadith compilation on different examples of Jawami'ul Kadim, very short phrases that are packed with meaning. For example, Ad-Dinun Nasiha, the religion is sincere counsel or sincere advice and purity. That's a very important hadith, and it's vast. There's entire books commenting just on that one hadith. Innama al-amalu bin-niyyat. Very short phrases that have so many meanings. This is an example of one of those. So these are the three hadith in chapter 26 of Kitab al-Riqaq. Some chapters are longer than others. We'll split them up. Some chapters are shorter. We may, if there's only one hadith, we may go to two chapters in a day. We'll try to keep it within 10 to 15 minutes maximum, inshallah. والحمد لله رب العالمين